ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम
Hare Krishna, Hare It goes, Hari Om, you say.
Hari Om.
So when they sing it, it'll go, I'll say, Nitai Gor.
Hari Om.
Nitai Gor.
Hari Om.
So I'll sing, Nitai Gor, Hari Om, and I'll sing like that a few times, and then when I stop, then you'll say, Nitai Gor, Hari Om. Just repeat, okay?
Kirtan, you're allowed to stand up and dance. And
you do this dance, everyone will come up to you after and go, hey, who taught you the Swami? Okay, now I'm going to teach you some variations on the Swami. That's the basic Swami. And the next one is, you go like this. You step behind and behind. See, like this? Instead of in front and in front, you're behind, behind, back, and back. Now, if you dare, put your hands up. Now, this is the reverse Swami. Now, people see you do this, they'll really say, hey, come on now. Who's been teaching you these Swami steps? Okay, so back and back. Now, do the front one again. The front Swami. Front and front and front. Now, one hand up and one hand goes down like this, you see? And you're still crossing. One and two. And then you can switch over and do the other way, like this. And then both hands up. And then some people get really fancy and they go like this. So you've got a few moves. The basic Swami, then the reverse Swami, behind and behind and behind. And then you can alternate your arms like this. You can leave them on this side, one up and one down, or switch over to the other side. And there you have some genuine bhakti dancing. So you'll feel it when you dance this. So like, we carry a lot of cares and anxieties around in our heart, just like car keys and cell phones and everything like that stores up all the responsibilities we have. When you dance in bhakti, you put your hands in the air, it's just like, oh, I've seen people, their keys go flying out, credit cards, everything. But all your cares, let go of all your attachments. Just let them go flying out. And when you chant the mantra will help you. It'll help take away all the attachments that hold you back in your life. Okay? So now we'll sit back down. And thing is, when we're chanting, at a certain point, when you feel it, then stand up and you can start dancing. And I recommend too, when you do that, you move a few things out of the way. Feel free to just move it out to give yourself a little space when you want to start dancing. But it's 108% bona fide to dance during the kirtan. You don't always have to sit in one place, although sometimes it's nice. But when you feel inspired, you get up and you dance. And you'll see, dancing to the mantra is a very, very powerful way of doing this kind of bhakti yoga. So let's do a tune that you can dance to, okay? And you'll see the part where you'll feel like you're going to dance. I guarantee you won't be able to not dance when you hear this tune. This isn't a major chord, so it's not as melancholy as the last two tunes. Let's start on a G. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
How are we doing on time? Okay. So, just see if you have any reflections from the night, anything that we talked about, or the experience of kirtan, or if you have any questions. Reflections easy because whatever you heard that you're taking away, whatever you experienced, you're taking away, you can just reflect it back. And a question's harder for me, but I don't mind. What one thing did you see, hear, experience tonight? Anything that held you back? Anything that you felt you were in a spiritual environment? Yes.
I felt a release of tension in my body. And when I came here, I was very stressed and very tired. But now I feel good. I feel light.
Oh, good. Yeah. That's, it's hard to tell how much we're taking in from the environment. It's cumulative also. It's something, especially in the modern day, that there are a lot of stimuli that come into our nervous system pretty much throughout the day and night. LED lights even at night shining at us, and a lot of things that accumulate. And it's important for a balanced life to have a way to release that and to come back to your center. It's one of the aspects of yoga that Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita. He calls it yukta, being balanced. He said, don't eat too much, don't eat too little, don't sleep too much, don't sleep too little, don't recreate too much, and don't recreate too little. Stay on the middle path. And also he talks about this kind of tension that we get. It comes from especially the various modalities that rule the world. He talks about this in the Bhagavad Gita, how there are three basic modalities. One is called tamas, that's the lowest energy. It breeds inertia, darkness, ignorance, sleep, and so forth. And then passion, which is the kind of endless desires that one has to try to get something more. Too much is not enough. Whatever I get, I need something else. And then goodness, which is called sattva, is the mode of clarity and the mode in which we're able to see the difference between our body and ourself. And we can actually feel satisfied just sitting, appreciating, being grateful. And so having a way to get into that mode of sattva, or goodness, every day and touch our actual spiritual center is really important, because then we can actually be effective in the rest of our lives. It's not reasonable for any human being to take on so much stress and not have a way to become grounded again and let it out. It ends up taking its toll on us. So I'm really glad to hear that we found a place to release some of that stress and tension. We all have it to some degree or another, knowingly or unknowingly. Right?
Yes.
What else did you hear, see, experience? Yes.
Two things. One is, every time I come here, I feel so good. Yet, you know, it doesn't become a habit. I don't know. I do come, but I don't know how it would become a habit. Because all these things, all the glitters, and you want to be in the other places, but you do not feel that much happiness.
Yeah, so you come and then you have a joyous experience, and then you go elsewhere and it doesn't continue because you don't have the habit of doing it at home and every other place, right? But you can also do it at home. There's ways that you can have a home practice. It helps to have some regular, what we call in bhakti, sangha. Sangha means to connect with others regularly. And the more regularly you do that, others who are practicing spiritual life, then it'll rub off on you. Actually, sometimes my spiritual master would say that, and some people say, well, how do you develop the habit of bhakti? And he'd say, well, how do you develop any habit? He said, when he lived in New York, when he first came to America, He said he saw people, they developed the habits of becoming drunkards. So he said somebody was sitting on a park bench drinking, and the person would go and sit next to him, and the next thing he'd be drinking, and the next thing he'd be falling down on the ground. He said the same way you become a drunkard, you become a spiritual practitioner also, by association and then going on with it. But it's nice to have a home practice, a way that you can take something home and create a sacred space in your house. If you have a place and a time when you do your practice, even if it's for a moment or two, it acts like a wedge. A wedge has a small end and a big end, and when you apply the small end and you keep giving a little pressure, then after a while it opens up a space for you. That's something that can be done. What other things? Yes?
What's the translation of the other mantra?
Nitai Gaur Haribol?
Yeah.
Nitai and Gaur. So, Nitai means Nityananda, means eternal bliss. And Gaur means Gauranga, who means the beautiful golden dancer. So these are two incarnations of Krishna, came in recently, 500 years ago, Nitai and Gaur. So the short for Nityananda and Gauranga. So the bhakti practitioners chant Nitai Gaur and Haribol. Hari means, it's a reference to our original divine source, but it has a specific meaning. Hari means one who takes away all your misery. I hold on to all my attachments, and that's what makes me unhappy. But he helps us to take those away and gives a higher taste. So Hari and Bull. Bull means chant. So when you say, right? You're from Orissa. So Bull means chant, sing. So you say Nitai Gaur Hari Bull, then this means sing these names. So when you meet practicing bhakti yoga, if you say Haribol.
Haribol.
They'll say, oh, it's like a password almost. When I was very young, I was a monk. I went traveling. I was on my way to India. I stopped in Hong Kong. I had no idea anything about Hong Kong, but I got out late at night in the cab, and I was looking for the flat where there were other practitioners, the monks, they stayed there. It was like 1 a.m, flight got in late. So I went to this big apartment complex, and there was a panel of buttons. I just pushed the number that I knew was in the address I had, and nobody came. I kept pushing. It was 1 a.m. Finally, I heard something in Cantonese, and I said, Hari Bol. And all of a sudden, so I thought, I was going up the stairs thinking, this is how you get around the world. You say, Hari Bol. So mantras, the world moves by mantras. Everybody, whatever they want something, they say, I want this, I want that. And then they have to say the right mantra. Like when you go to an interview, they'll ask you all these questions, and then you have to say the right mantras back. Like, I'm a good person, and I won't ruin your company. And all these things. And then when they hear the right mantras, then they'll say, okay, you can come stay with us. So the world moves by mantra, but these are special mantras. These mantras, when you say Hari Bol, it means that you're a connoisseur of mantras. So these mantras can move you to a higher spiritual position, and you can practice them anywhere. And somebody else, you did.
Well, I have a question, so it's unrelated to that sort of.
That's okay.
Because like you were on a roll. So when you're meditating and you have all these people talking in your head and all this commotion, and in yoga they're called the vrittis of the mind, then what do you particularly do to calm your mind down?
Well, I listen to the mantra, especially the sound vibration of the mantra, because it's actually very beautiful. The word Krishna means the source of all beauty. And in the spiritual science, the name of the original divine source is the same as the divine source. There's no difference at all. And I contemplate that as I'm chanting and listening to the name itself. And just appreciating the quality of the name. So this is the object that I meditate on, and it's auditory. So hearing the sound and focusing my mind back again when it runs away, back on the sound of the mantra. And I know when I'm doing my mantras, especially in the morning, that's when I usually practice, then I'm very much aware of the level of my meditation by how much I'm interested in hearing the mantra. When it starts to sound, the sound becomes extremely interesting to me and I want to hear it more and more. That's when I know that I'm connecting in the meditation. And mantra, the mantra does the work. It actually delivers you. Sometimes I think of it, when I go to Japan, I see people fishing a lot. It's one of the national pastimes, especially for retired people. And I watch them fish and then throw it in and they really, and they pull in a lure. You know what a lure is? Mm-hmm. It's this like a little metal thing, or they have all kinds of lures, but the fish see it and they get attracted to it. And then they, after a while, they grab onto it and there's hooks, so they'll be grabbed. I'm not endorsing that, by the way, but I'm just saying that that's what they do. So the meditation is kind of like fishing, because the mind is like a fish. It's very fickle, can swim off at any minute. If you spook it, it'll just boom, it go off. So similarly, when meditating, I take the mantra and I keep fishing with the mantra. I put it out, it's like a lure, and I just pull it by the mind. It's like, nope, didn't take it, nope, didn't take it, nope, didn't, bah! And once the mind gets caught on the mantra, then this is, the bhakti masters always talk about this, that when your mind gets caught on the mantra, when it goes after it, and it gets hooked, that's when you're making good progress in the mantra meditation. Then the vrittis, you don't even notice the vrittis, because the principle of Bhagavad Gita is to find a higher vibration, to find and the vrittis are really vibrations. They're vibrations of energy that are moving through my head. But when I get a higher vibration through the mantra and I grab onto it, then I'm pulled past all these other insignificant vibrations that are random. I've collected them and they're residing within my mind and heart, within the chitta, within the conscious cavity of my mind and heart. And I can go past those by taking shelter of the higher mantra. Oh, took an extra 7 minutes. So, we had some time together. Yes, last one.
So in Bhakti Yoga, actually, there is a lot of importance given to devotional services, right? So what qualifies as devotional services, and which one is the most effective?
What qualifies as devotional service?
Yeah.
And which is the most effective?
Yeah.
Well, what qualifies as devotional service is the mood in which you do something. Because you can do all the same things that anybody else is doing, but it's your the intentionality is what's important. So for instance, people cook all the time. But if they're cooking for themselves, then it's one thing. But if they're cooking and they're thinking, I'm going to offer this to Krishna, then this is bhakti. And it goes for anything, whatever you do. You can drive, you can walk, you can. It depends where you're walking to. And it really has to do with the state of your heart while you're doing it. The most effective process is hearing and chanting. Bhakti is starts with Shravanam Kirtanam. In fact, we were talking, I didn't get your name, Mataji, in the back.
Riddhi.
Huh?
Riddhi.
Riddhi, we were talking in the hallway out there, and I mentioned a verse from one of the bhakti scriptures that says, "Ata Shri Krishna Namadi Na Bhaved Grahim Indre Seva Mukihi Jivado Swayameva Spuratyada." And it means something amazing, and that is that, first of all, you can't understand the Supreme through your blunt material senses. Not available there. However, if you act in such a way that the Supreme wants to come and see you, then the Supreme will reveal Himself to you. And it all begins with the tongue. It says jihwa in Sanskrit means tongue, and a dao means beginning with. So believe it or not, yoga begins with the tongue. In fact, I do a whole seminar called the Yoga of the Tongue. And someone once asked me, Woody, can you do down dog with the tongue? But it has to do with really chanting. It's the vibration that you make with your tongue, especially the chanting we're doing tonight, and listening. When you listen to spiritual sound vibration, it fills you up, and it changes the state of your heart, and it changes the state of your existence. So the two most important aspects of bhakti are hearing and chanting. And if you do those properly, then the rest of your life will change around that. From the inside out, you'll change. It's a real pleasure being here with all of you. It's important. It's inestimable how much impact one person has on the world. And every one of you, everything you do is important, actually. And so taking time to restore yourself spiritually, to connect with the higher vibration, gives you the wherewithal to enact the compassion upon the world, to do selfless service and so forth. And that has a chain reaction on the whole world. It's great service when you're able to do that for others. But you have to start with yourself. So congratulations on taking time to take care of yourselves. And it's been a great honor to be with all of you. I've met some of you before and some of you for the first time. Thank you very much. And let's hear it for Monisha and Avantika, the band just west of the Mississippi. And thanks to Sri Kumar Prabhu and his wife for taking care of all of us, and the rest of the crew here for maintaining this oasis here and wherever we are. Where are we anyway? Are we in Palo Alto? This is Santa Clara?
Yeah.
It's a nice place. Palo Alto. I was thinking that we're really fortunate too that we can assemble and we can do these kinds of things without worrying about the police coming in or something like that. No, it's true, because I have friends who, you know, we travel around the world and we do kirtan and we teach bhakti and things like that. One of my friends goes to the east. I go to Japan, he goes to China. And, you know, right now, not in Japan, but in China, they're really cracking down. They're not allowing people to do things like this, and it's becoming more dicey. There are other countries, too, where you can't do this. So, we're lucky. We should take advantage while we have the opportunity. Thank you very much.
Thank you.